Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 6th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll check in on the latest crop progress reports, too. That with the state statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. Along the way, we'll hear the weather forecast from Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for Tuesday afternoon. From the CME Group, December contract in the corn pit was up 4 3/4. It settled at $3.98 1/4. The March at 4.08 1/2, up 4 3/4. And the May contract at 4.14 3/4, up 4 3/4. July change suit. It went up a nickel at 4.19 1/2. And December of next year, up 4 3/4 at $4.19 1/4. Soy complex November beans 3 3/4 higher to $8.88. January 8.92 up 3 3/4. The March up 4 at 8.95 1/4. May 3 3/4 higher. July 3 3/4 higher. August up 4 1/4. And next year's November beans at 8.95 3/4, up a nickel for the day. Bean meal futures at 301.80. They're up 80 cents. And the bean oil at 28.51, 3 cents higher on the day. July soft red winter wheat at $5.40 1/2, up 12 cents. The hard red July finished at 5.50 even. That was up 13 for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the October up $3. They're at 125.12 1/2 at the current trade. October futures in the feeders up 4.25 at 182.37 1/2. And lean hogs for the day at 57 1/2 cents higher are trading at $73.57 1/2 at this hour. Checking some of the outside markets for the day very quickly, we see that in the energies, ethanol futures at $1.60 1/10 are a penny and 2/10 higher. Crude oil futures at $48.50 a barrel are up $2.24. And gasoline on the wholesale price, that's the November contract, $1.43 3/10 per gallon, up 4 8/10 cents. Natural gas at $2.47 3/10, up 2 3/10. And diesel fuel, 6 1/10 cents higher at $1.60 9/10.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is public radio for the farming world, and the reason it's that way is because you are involved in our financial process. We'd like you to give us a call right now at 217-244-9455. Les Schulte has joined me in studio this afternoon to talk to you a little bit about the good reasons to make a financial pledge. Hi, Les.
Oh, Todd.
Well, tell me some of the ways first that producers can do that.
Well, it's very easy to make a pledge of support. Right now, this afternoon, at 217-244-9455, you can just pick up your cell phone, give us a call, and make that pledge of support. Maybe $100 fits into your budget. That's a great investment to make. And all of the services that you use for your farming operation, that would be a great way to say thanks to WILL and make sure those services continue. Or you can make that pledge online at willpledge.org or willag.org. Either
one, two websites, no waiting. Or if you'd rather just download our Will app if you don't have it on your phone already. If you have the Will app, just go to stations. There's a button there called Give Now. Click, click. You're done.
Absolutely. You can actually go to willag.org, and if you just scroll down the page, you'll find a couple of little boxes. You hit those boxes. They say be a sustainer or one-time gift. You'll say the same boxes come up in a different page, and that's where you're going to give. It's really simple and quick and easy to do. At 217-244-9455. Do it right now. It's important, and we sure would like to have you on board this Tuesday afternoon on Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. It's the 6th day of October. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Again, just as a reminder, this is public radio, and we like to have your involvement in the process. We're in the middle of our fall pledge drive, just about 4 or 5 days here. 217-244-9455, or as I commonly remember from years ago, 217-BIG-WILL. That's the easy one to dial up, or you can just go to our website at willag.org. I kind of like the $120 level. It's the midpoint. However you do it, if you do it online or if you make a pledge by phone, make sure that you either put it in the comments section or that you tell them you're pledging in support of agriculture. Neither of those are there as a click, so you've got to make sure that you tell them one way or the other you're supporting agriculture. That'll make me feel good, and that'll let them know that you would really like to have this programming continue, because we get to talk to fun people like Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, about the marketplace. Hi, Wayne. Good afternoon to you.
Why, good afternoon. And we did have fun today. We had green numbers all over the board.
You know, green numbers on Turnaround Tuesday when they were supposed to be red, that's a good thing. But do we understand at all why the corn managed to go up? I guess maybe we got past the 50% harvest mark.
You know, that can be part of it. I think grain's not moving. The farmers have been pretty tight-fisted, putting in their own bins. You know, we saw the outside markets up. Look at that way. We saw crude gaining, and that seems to help our corn market a lot. And we saw technical buying. We, you know, the best level we've seen since August. The December wheat went through the 100-day moving average. The Dease corn touched the 200-day moving average. And November beans were at the high end of the six-week trading range. So a little bit of risk on period out here, and I think we're seeing a little more enthusiasm about some of the funds coming back in a little bit.
Speaking of enthusiasm and risk on or risk off, one of the things that will be traded this week comes up at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, and be sure to follow my Twitter account at Commodity Week when you're in the field. I'll post it also into willag.org, probably just under the big 217-244-9455 pledge your financial support. All of the USDA report numbers, both the crop production and the WASD figures. Do you think we'll have many changes on Friday morning, Wayne?
Well, that's what everybody's betting on this week, and we're seeing some volatility because they think there could be some changes. Probably the one that they're looking for more than anything could be a reduction in harvested acres because of the drowned out and all the excess water in different places like that. I think that the bean yields have come in consistently a little better than some expected, and everybody seems to be raising their attitudes as far as yield per acre, but it's going to be on how many acres they say we're going to harvest. You know, and as far as the corn, very, very variable yet. We're hearing, low numbers, and we're hearing high numbers, depending on which area we're talking to. We talked to people in Ohio and Pennsylvania. It's a sad number. And we talked to some in central Illinois, and they're real happy numbers as far as the corn goes. But a lot of variance just field to field on a lot of the farmers.
Easy to understand why there would be good basis numbers in some of those eastern Corn Belt areas. But the western Corn Belt here in our part of the world, some areas just to the west of us as well, have really good basis numbers. And that seems a little odd in the middle of harvest.
Yeah, it does. I mean, considering, too, what we're facing up against on the FOB basis, Argentina's about 40 cents a bushel less than us, and Ukraine's about 30 cents a bushel less than us as far as corn being offered to the world. So, but I think what a lot of it has to do with is farmers been pretty tight-fisted and going to their own bins, only delivering on their contracts so far, and I think a lot of these end users would like to have a little coverage.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have you dialed in yet with your pledge of financial support? I hope so. We won't hit you too hard for the afternoon. We've got about 4 days. This is just the beginning. Les Schulte, who joins us in studio here from WILL, our home radio station, to talk about how to give and how easy it is. How can they give and how easy is it?
Well, it's very easy to give, and there are many ways. Again, you can just pick up the cell phone and call 217-244-9455 anytime. Make that pledge of support. You can pledge online at willag.org or willpledge.org. or you could pledge on the Will app. There's a click button there, and your pledge will go right through, and it takes about a minute, maybe two at tops. So if you can give us that amount of time this afternoon, we would appreciate it. To help support the services that we bring to you, like Todd's reports during the closing market report, we've got our second annual Fall Farm Assets Show coming up on November the 24th back in Bloomington, Illinois. We also have, of course, the Spring Show in Covington, Indiana. These are just some of the Outlook meetings that we bring to you. And we make these things possible because you invest a little bit of money into this service. And that's all we're asking you to do right now. Invest a little bit of money, maybe $100, $120. You decide what that is, but call that number, 217-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org or willag.org. It's that investment that keeps this service on the air.
Okay, checklist for you. Things that we do. We have on-air programming.
That's right. Check.
We have evening Outlook panels.
Check.
We have Farm Assets Conference.
Check.
We have the All-Day Ag Outlook Conference.
Check.
We have our own Twitter account.
Check.
We also have our own e-letter.
Check.
Any of those gone away?
Nope.
All right.
They're all there.
Who should give? Everybody, 217, right?
That's exactly right, because all those things are there because people invest in this service. Few dollars makes it all possible.
And please do give, 217-244-9455. Go online to willag.org and hit the gold and blue buttons. Here's what's making the agricultural news for the day. We'll start again with the TPP. The American Farm Bureau and major commodity groups are optimistic this week's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal among the U.S. and 11 other nations will mean huge gains for U.S. agriculture. AFBF trade advisor Dave Salmonson says full details are not out yet, but summarizes what is known about the 12-nation TPP deal the president will send to Congress early next year.
We think there'll be new access, especially in Japan, for beef and pork. Tariffs will be reduced. Some other procedures will be improved. There was a lot of ongoing discussion with Canada and New Zealand and U.S. and Japan on dairy access, whether there would be some tariff reductions, some expanded tariff rate quota access. We hope that happens so we have more access for U.S. dairy products.
But Samuelson says it's good news the deal with so many growing and developing economies was finally concluded. The challenge now, he says, will be selling it to Congress.
Trade is never easy, and putting up the backdrop of the political climate that'll be here in the U.S. Next year when the bill might go before Congress, we'll make it a challenge.
The National Pork Producers' Nick Giordano says his group is reserving judgment until final details are out, but the deal could be huge for pork based on an Iowa State University study.
Getting all tariff and non-tariff barriers in these countries to pork eliminated, that we're talking about 10,000 new pork industry jobs alone as a result of the increased exports.
The pork industry shipped some $4.5 billion in products to the 11 other TPP nations last year. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says rejection of the deal would be a mistake, with U.S. producers falling behind other nations, negotiating their own preferential trade deals with the TPP nations. We'll stay with TPP because not everybody is happy with the agreement. In fact, a Canadian was so unpleased by the announcement that he dumped 100 bushels of wheat in front of a conservative candidate's campaign office. Larry McGuire is a Canadian House of Commons candidate from southwest Manitoba. The wheat showed up in front of his campaign office Monday morning, just after Canada was one of the 12 nations agreeing to the TPP trade pact. McGuire touted the benefits of the TPP on Monday, and he's taking the unusual protest in stride, though according to the CBC, that's the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, McGuire said, "We're saying somebody dropped off a donation." McGuire said he plans to load up the wheat and auction it off. While speaking Monday to reporters, he did acknowledge concerns Canadian farmers have in regard to the TPP, but said if we hadn't been able to do this and let the U.S. and Japan sign their own agreement on hogs, our industry would have been in real jeopardy. And finally, we'll make the transition from TPP, but we'll stay with wheat. The 2014 documentary, The Great American Wheat Harvest Film, has received a Mid-American Regional Emmy Award. Saturday, the Mid-America chapter of the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences held the Emmy Gala in St. Louis, Missouri, and The Great American Wheat Harvest was selected as the winner for Best Documentary Cultural. The Great American Wheat Harvest is the story about the American harvesters who risk everything to put food on our tables. Each year, they travel from Texas across the Western Plains, harvesting wheat and other crops that feed the world. The film follows their journey and tells their stories. Filmmaker Conrad Weaver is working on another documentary film called Thirsty Land. It's the story about the drought in the American West and its impact on agriculture, communities, and the environment. Thirsty Land is expected to be released in late 2016. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's take a look now at the Crop Progress Reports as released by the United States Department of Agriculture yesterday afternoon. 27% of the corn crop around the nation had been harvested as of Sunday of this week. 32% is the rolling five-year average. The corn crop actually got a little better in condition this week than it did from the previous week. 48% good this week and 20% excellent. Last week, those numbers added up to the same, but they were 49% in good and 19% in excellent. So 1% moved up to the excellent category in the corn over the past week, highly unusual at this time of year. In the soybeans, a similar change in the condition rating. This week, 48% good and 16% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 47% good and 15% excellent. They're actually up 2 percentage points in total across those two particular categories. Speaking of the soybeans, 85% of that crop is now said to be dropping its leaves. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 83%, and 42% of the soybeans have been harvested around the nation. The rolling five-year average is 32%. Now here are the state statisticians.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report. Mostly dry conditions allowed Iowa farmers to harvest one quarter of the state's soybean crop this week. Fieldwork activities for the week included cutting hay and harvesting soybeans and corn for grain. In some areas, farmers are waiting for their crops to dry down before harvesting. There were also reports of manure being spread. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 1 degree below normal. Rain fell over all but the far southeastern Iowa locations between Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning. This was the only rain event of the week. Soil temperatures at the 4-inch depth as of Sunday afternoon were averaging in the mid to upper 50s statewide. 90% of the corn crop was mature, 8 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the five-year average. 13% of the corn crop per grain has been harvested, 10 days ahead of last year but 8 days behind average. Moisture content of all corn being harvested was at 21%, down 3 percentage points from the previous week. Corn condition rated 80% good to excellent. 97% of soybeans were turning color or beyond, while 86% of the soybeans were dropping leaves. 2 days ahead of normal, 32% of the soybean crop has been harvested, 1 week ahead of last year but 1 day behind average. Soybean condition rated 77% good to excellent. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Northern and central Illinois received below average rainfall last week, but southern Illinois was wetter than normal. The state average rainfall was 45 one-hundredths of an inch compared to an average of 3/4 of an inch for the week. Temperatures were 1 to 2 degrees below normal. Corn harvest advanced by 20 points and is now 50% complete. That compares to 22% 1 year ago and 47% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop only changed slightly from last week and is now 15% very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 56% good to excellent. Soybean harvest is now 49% complete, up 25 points from 1 week ago. The current year's pace is well ahead of last year at 16% and the five-year average of 31%. The condition of the crop improved from last week and is now 14% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 60% good to excellent. In other crops, winter wheat planting increased by 18 points to 22% complete. That compares with 8% last year and 18% normally. Also, sorghum harvest is now 50% complete compared to 32% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota farmers were able to harvest over one-third of both their soybean and sugar beet crops during the 6.4 days suitable for field work during the week. This was the most days suitable for field work this crop season. Other activities for the week included fall tillage and fertilizer applications on harvested fields. 91% of the Minnesota's corn crop was mature. That's 2 weeks ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn harvest was 9% complete. That's 10 days ahead of last year, but that was 8 days behind normal. Corn condition rated 89% good to excellent. Corn harvested for silage was 93% complete. That's 2 days ahead of normal. With almost the entire soybean crop dropping leaves or beyond, the soybean harvest advanced 35 percentage points during the week to reach 69% complete overall. That's 10 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 82% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Presbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Corn and soybean harvests continue to make significant progress despite the rain. Average temperatures range from 57 to 65 degrees and from 2 degrees below to 5 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation range from 0.02 to 2.29 inches with a statewide average of 0.75 inches. Soybeans dropping leaves was 90% complete compared to 86% last year and 88% five-year average. Soybeans harvested was 41% complete compared to 17% last year and 29% five-year average. Soybean yields were reported to be above expectation. Soybean moisture content rose after the rain on Saturday in foggy conditions. In some areas, seed corn harvest was reported as nearly complete, allowing farmers to switch to commercial corn. Corn was 83% mature this week, compared to 81% last year and 83% five-year average. Corn was 29% harvested this week, compared to 17% last year and 32% five-year average. Despite the rain and heavy winds reported, corn appeared to be standing pretty well. Early corn yields were still being reported as greatly variable. Other activities for the week included fall tillage, fall fairs, commercial tomato harvest, and planting of cover crops. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 4th, 2015. This is Janice Presbury reporting.
All right, thanks. Go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Hey, have you dialed in yet? Gosh, I hope so. If not, now might be a really good time. 217-244-9455, or you can just go visit our website. Phone number is actually there, and just a way to press those buttons that say be a sustainer, one-time gift, and you can make your pledge however you do it online. About $120 is a great place. Less is fine. More is great. Do it now.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, have you dialed in yet? Hope so. If not, hey, right now, Les Schulte, is the right time to do it, isn't it?
It certainly is the right time to do it on day one of our fall pledge period, is to make that pledge and get us off to a great start, especially if agriculture is one of the services you truly appreciate here on this, your public radio station. Call that number, as Todd said, 217-244-9455. or online at willag.org. It's quick and simple to make a pledge right there.
Yeah, you know, you can call in. You can just make the pledge and then write a check later if you want.
You can do that, or you can put it on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. That's an easy way to do it.
Absolutely.
Or if you can set that up as a sustaining membership and set up a few dollars a month, maybe $5, $10, $20 a month, whatever fits into your budget. However you use this service, value this service, call and make that pledge right now at 217-244-9455 or online at willag.org.
Yeah, willag.org. Hit the yellow or blue button there. Actually, it's just one big box, and they're all connected to the same place. It's a pledge form. When you do it, whether you make the phone call at 217-244-9455, do you remember it yet? You will by the end of the week, 217-BIG-WILL. Make sure you tell them you're supporting agriculture, or in the comment box when you're filling out the pledge form online, just put in support of agriculture. Or agriculture, doesn't matter which one, just so that they know which programming that you're supporting. Makes a difference to us, to the management, and if you're going to give, don't you want to give in support of agriculture? I think it's probably so if you're listening to this program. So 217-244-9455 is the number to call. That's willag.org. We do appreciate you taking the time right now. When you get to the end of the field, just stop and dial that number. I think it takes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Doesn't take very long. Again, 217-244-9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this sixth day of October. I hope you've already dialed 217-244-9455 or made your pledge of support online. Just go to willag.org and hit those boxes there that say donate now. It'd be a fantastic thing to do, and I'd really appreciate it. Don Day is here to take a look at the weather forecast at this hour around the planet and some of the growing regions. Don, can we start in South America? They have been dry, at least in Mato Grosso. Other parts have been a little on the wet side, and they're concerned, I think, about rainfall and their wheat crop, too. What do you see there?
Well, there are portions of South America, including the area you mentioned earlier, that are a little bit dry and will continue to be that way. Brazil, in particular, the drier of the two countries, there's going to be some shower activity in extreme southeast Brazil, but it's Argentina that's probably in line for the best chance of precipitation here over the next week. While some of the key growing areas in Brazil, while there is a little bit of rain in the forecast, really not a lot. So the areas that are dry continue to look dry here for the next week ahead, and the areas that have been a little bit moist are going to be the areas that have the best chance of precipitation.
Let's come back to the growing areas in the United States. Maybe we can start in the Great Plains State and discuss the beginning of the growing season for the hard red winter wheat crop. How did it go?
Well, not bad. And as they get now into the season that they're in now, we're looking at a couple of systems moving through that are going to provide some areas, especially portions of West Texas and some of the southern plain states, with some precipitation. Further east you go, in those hard winter wheat areas, a little bit drier.
And the important stuff for my part of the world, the open season for harvest. They'd like conditions that would be good to bring in the corn and the soybean crops.
Right now, pretty optimistic that we don't have anything too bad coming. While we certainly see the writing on the wall of bigger changes coming as we get to the middle to the end of this month in terms of more stormy, colder, wet weather, I think the nation's midsection, a lot of the areas looking to get some harvest, won't have too many hurdles over the next week or two.
If we get that far along, we might nearly have it done. But those conditions at the middle to the end of the month worry me just a bit. What kinds of things will we be battling?
Well, we're going to start to see a more active northern jet stream, and we're going to start to see some pushes of colder air out of Canada. We've been able to get through September and early October with really not a lot of that, but that's going to be changing now as we head on into the middle to the end of the month. I see the Midwest, the Great Lakes, and many areas of the midsection getting colder and more wet. But this is probably something that's going to probably wait until after the 17th or the 18th of the month.
Hey, thanks, Don. Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world. What's that mean? Well, this week it means it's your opportunity, your chance, the ability to get in on the action. Frankly, just thank you so much for those who have given already. If you haven't given, you can keep dialing in. It doesn't matter whether you do it during the program 24 hours a day, frankly, online at willag.org. Just hit those boxes. When you make your pledge of financial support, though, do tell them you're supporting agriculture. This is important. Since Dave's left, we've carried the ball, actually, the whole load the whole time, and it's been spread out over a couple of folks, some of the station staff and myself. We haven't given anything up. I think the service is still there for you. Show us that's the case, 217-244-9455 or willag.org, and make a pledge to Illinois Public Media in support of agricultural programming. Have a safe afternoon on the farm. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.